an extra charge. Okay, I hope you have the pages. Yeah? No? No, it wasn't. We were learning from the custom Eifer last time. So we have to make sure the page is sent out, and then another page is sent out to remind you to remember the page. We're on page hey. Okay, even though it's after Purim, it's Noch Purim, nevertheless, you remember that we began before Yom Tov to learn the first Torah in Kesem Eifer from the Kamarna, which brings together all the Yesodos that we've been learning in the Kesem Shem Tov for the past couple of months. Really going back to before that. And here the commander brings all of these Yesodos together in the context of Pnimius of Ahibim Achashverosh. Just to remind you that Achashverosh, Chazal teach us, contains the two words, a remez of the two words, Achris V'Rosh. Achashverosh is Achris V'Rosh, which is the end and the beginning. And Ahibim Achashverosh means that regardless of when it is in a person's life, or where a person is, whether it's a time of or, of his galus, of clarity, or it's a time of hastara, or hastara within a hastara, vayihi, which is a lashon of tsar, vayihi is a lashon of tsar, as Chazal say, everything in our lives is bimei Ahasuerus. And bimei Ahasuerus means everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is Baruch, is always there, achris v'reish. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there at the highest place, in the highest time of life, in the Reish, and he's there always, even in the Achris of Achris, in the lowest and darkest and most difficult time in a person's life. Everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything is the Oisiyas of the Aleph Beis, 22 Oisiyas of the Aleph Beis. The 22 letters of the Aleph Beis that Bezalel knew had to be Mitzaref, Shemayim, Varus, the Oisiyas of creation, because the Oisiyas of the Aleph Beis of Torah are hidden in everything that exists, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechayeg, his life and existence to everything through the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. This is what we've been learning in the Kesef Shem Tov, and this is how the commander is explaining Vahibi Mechashverosh, and therefore David Melech davened, and he all do Gal Einai V'Abita Niflos Mitarasecha. Open my eyes that I will be able to see Niflos, wonders of your Torah. And Niflos is a lashon of Nafal Ois, that when there's something that is, when I can't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's only because Nafal Ois Mitarasecha, that there is a letter that has fallen from my consciousness, that I'm not aware of, that this is that everything in my life, everything that I am seeing is the Oisius of the Aleph Beis. It's all Vayhi B'Mechashverosh. It's all Achris HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Achris V'Rosh. So, if on page Hey, look at Ha'ora Tes Zayin. The notes. Let's look at some of the notes. Tes Zayin. Let's see in your Ches a little bit. I don't know if it's hard. It might be very small on your paper. Well, it's the same as this, I guess, because it wasn't me. Re'ei told us Yaakov Yosef. Again, this is what we saw to connect to what we're learning in Kesher Shem Tov. So the told us brings in Pashas Bo, Kama Shiesh Kavana, Kaitev Echad Levarat Nitzaitzin, Kama Shiesh Kavana B'Devar Muchnim, rather, B'Tayru Utvila, Vasiyas HaMitzvahs, Shakol Yosef Al Kaitev Echad Levarat Nitzaitzin, Kama Shakosu B'Kisvehri, Kacha Kavana B'Devar M'Gashmim Gamkein. The same way, the told us says the same way that we have Kavanis and Ruchnius, when we're davening and when we're learning and when we're doing mitzvahs, so too, Kacha Kavanim B'Dvarim Gashmim Gamkein, so too, when we're involved in the Rosh, in higher matters of Torah, Tefillah, and mitzvahs, And so too, when it comes to the achris, when a person is Isaac and Gashmis, things of matters of this world, kach hakavana, b'dvarim Gashmiim gam kein b'achilu shasiv b'chol minei melacha. When a person is eating and drinking, whatever he's doing, kol minei melacha, hakol levarim and lamates melachas. Everything's to be mevar from the 39 melachas of this world. Hakadosh Baruch Hu. V'zeh she'amar, that's what Shlomo Melech says, b'chol drachecha de'eyu. Loshen yichu kushabuchu shchintei, aydei halos, mayin nukfen, mi bevur hen nitzaitis, everything is navayde v'yichudim, da ehu da hevav, which is the meaning of yud kevav, we're not going to go through the Isis right now, the shem yud kevav, but it's all a matter of uncovering HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're learning, davening, doing mitzvahs, which is called Rosh, and when you're Isaac in the Lamentes Melachis, and involved in matters of this world, which is called Achris, because everything in life is vahi bimei, Achashveus. Everything is bimei, Achashveus. Therefore, in Yudches, Rei Divei Rabbeinim Nesimus Vesecha, that's where he writes, the commander writes in Nesimus Vesecha, Sha'olam Amalai Malayin Shemus V'yichud Mitzirufim Oasis Atar. All of creation, if we were able to see with our eyes, all of creation is all Shemus of Hashem. Yichudim and Oasis, it's all covered by this veneer of physical reality, but the pnimius of all that exists, as you all know, that before the Baal Tanya was Nifter, that he looked and he was able to see with the Isis, he was surrounded by letters, by the Isis. He couldn't see anymore. Before he was Nifter, he was looking up at the ceiling, and the Chavar Kedisha and the family were there, and they were asking what he was looking at. And he said all he could see was the beams. The Kuf Kaira is a beam, Kuf Vavreshe. All he could see with the Isis is Kuf Vavreshe. When he looked at the beam of the room, the wooden beam, he could only see the letters Kuf Vavreshe, which means a Kaira. He only saw the Isis. He only saw the letters. He could no longer see the physical covering. He only saw the Isis. And that's the meaning of Zeh Gal Einai. That's what Don Malchus is asking. Gal Einai. Open my eyes. She'ez Kalira is Ha'or Vachis Velokus Shebesach Kol Hemzai. Open my eyes that I should be able to see the or the chius and lukus. Now we can't see like that, but we could believe that that's the truth, and that's our avayda, and to ask Hashem that we should be able to believe in that, that everything is or the chius and lukus of b'sar kolam and tzayim, and everything that exists. Shemalei chalaretz kevaydai. V'lo yeyes suma ligara chalila achar harav v'tayves gashmius. And the commander writes, I shouldn't be a person who's blind, and to be drawn after the external of Ra and Taivis and Gashmis. Ella Haloisam L'or V'chius V'tveikis Vaz Ezke V'abita. Gal Einei V'abita, that I should be able to see the truth. Habotem Yilamal L'mat, that I should be able to see things from that perspective of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from above to below. Niflo'os, Nofal Ois Kodesh, that everything is a Lukuz. I said, why don't I see the Lukuz like the Alter Rebbe saw the Lukuz? The answer is because Nofal Ois Kodesh, that the letters are fallen, they have fallen into this kisui, this covering, this levush of Adam HaZeh. That's how Hashem Zbach made the world. At that point, before he died, the Baal Tanya was mufshat from this world. He was already not in the world anymore, and he was in such a place where he was able to see the Isis Mamish. Shebechol ha'olam umloy naflu Isis ha'Torah. Everything in existence are letters, Isis of the Torah. V'yesh b'm yichudim la'asas betachtan, which the tzaddikim are Isaac and all of these yichudim, l'ramas be'elyon. So even though they would be doing things in this physical world, they were always meramas, the things of the higher world. Yonim nefloim in his garden, that's how they lived. Yeah. Now back on top on the left column, while Zomer Rabbeinu, I don't remember if we learned this inside, so anyway we have to chazir. On the left column on page Hay, there's a very deep teaching from the Mizritch Magid. We began to speak about it a little bit, but it's a very deep teaching from Mizritch Magid. There are those who say that this too goes back to the Baal Shem HaKadosh. It's hard to distinguish when the Mizritch Magid said things, that many things that were of course Pirushim and Biurim of what he heard from the Baal Shem HaKadosh. So there are those who learn that this is one of those things that came from the Baal Shem, and the Mizritch Magid was explaining. So the commander says that regarding this, the pure light, Barain Rav Dov Bermi Mezuz, says his Zohar Kavana Shama Bazar, Alinin Kishute Hashchina. We find in the Zohar Kaddish in many places this unusual Lashon of Kishute Hashchina. That in this world, our job is to be mekashet, is to adorn the Shechina. Kishutim are adornments, like the Kishute Kala. That the Kala, when she's dressed up in the special Kishutim that she wears by the Chasna, so our Inyan is to be mekashet Kishutim of the Shechina. All of our Avoida is somehow to be mekashet Kishutim of the Shechina. And the Zohar says, Aloshnev is kashtas b'kishutin d'lahar. There are two types of kishutin. This is a very big yisod. There are two types of kishutin. There's kishutin d'ahavu, and there's kishutin d'lohavu. Which means just in the moshel, it's kishutin d'ahavu, kishutin d'lohavu. In the moshel of the kala, of the bride, there are certain kishutim, there are basic things that the kala has, that she owns. However she prepared for the chasna, the things that she has. Whatever that is, the clothing, the things that she has, those are called kishutim dahav. That she owns, she has those kishutim. Then there are kishutim dalahav, that she doesn't have. And the guests at the chasna, or the ones who are close to her, Amachadish, these kishutim, when they come to the chasna, they bring additional adornments. They bring additional kishutim to Mekasha the Kala that she didn't have. She didn't have these kishutim. So the Zohar Kodesh says that the Shechina has certain kishutim, and there's certain kishutim that the Shechina doesn't have. Now, when you hear that, of course, it sounds very, very strange. What is it that the Shechina doesn't have? The Shechina has everything. The Shechina. Now you have to remember, we're not talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're talking about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light is in this world, how it's experienced in this world as Shechina. So what does it mean that Kishut and Dahav and Kishut and Dalehav? So the Kaman explains. I mean, it's not the Quran's bringing from the Mizrach Magid. Is kashtas b'kishut and d'lehavu, the Torah mitzvahs hem kishut and d'havu. Torah mitzvahs are kishut and d'havu. The Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a life of Torah mitzvahs, and that the Shechina is mislabeshes in this system of Torah mitzvahs. Those are called kishut and d'havu. Those are the kishut and dahavu that the Shechina comes equipped with, and Knesset Yisrael comes equipped with. Am Yisrael, we were taught how to observe Torah mitzvahs, and these are called kishut and dahavu. Klema kishutei haShechina shekvar hayu ma'olam. There are kishutim that every Jew has of the Shechina, that the Shechina has, and that we have as Am Yisrael, which is the manifestation of the Shechina in this world, that everybody, when you become Bar Mitzvah, you open up your box and you have in there all the kishutim of, you have your tefillin, you have your tzitzis, and you have all the responsibilities of a Jew. Those are called kishutim dahavu. That's my oilam. Everybody has those kishutim. Those are the kishutim of the Shechina in this world that were revealed in Har Sinai. Kishutim dahavu. Al kisha odom, which is a chashev thing, kishut and dahav, you have to have. Those are the basics. Kishut and dahav, those are the basics. Al kisha odom miyached b'inyonei olam hazeh. However, what are the kishut and the lohav? What are the kishut that the Shechina doesn't have? So the Mizrach Magid says, when when a person thinks of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he remembers that there's a Bore Olam, not just when he's putting on tefillin, and not just when he's sitting in the Beis HaMedrash and learning, which itself would be also nowadays a big thing, but if a person would think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, would think of the Shekhinah at work, while you're eating, while you're drinking, while you're Isaac in the Lamatas Melachas of this world, that's called Kishut and Delahav. Kishut and Delahav. That's not in the treasure chest. Here, a person has the ability to create his own adornments for the Shekhinah that were not handed down as family heirlooms that we have, like the tefillin and Shabbos and Mitzvahs. Those are the heirlooms that we have in our Mishpacha, that we pass down from generation to generation, that were given to us at Har Sinai. And that's called Kishut. Those are called Kishut Dahav. That the Shekhinah has those Kishut. That's locked into the Mitzvahs of the Shekhinah and Am Yisrael, Tals and Tefillin, Shabbos, Yontif, that's all Kishut Dahav. And those, of course, are expected. The Shekhinah, that's the Kala wouldn't have the basic needs of the Chas Kala. Those are called Kishut and Dahav. You have to have those. But the Ike Tanug Kivyochel, the pleasure, the joy, the Nachas that the Bari Olam has in this world, is when a Jew is able to come up with his own Kishut. Kishut and Dahav. Kishut Nalahava means when you bring to the Kala something that she didn't have before. And what she didn't have before is this yichud that you were able to be miyachet to remember that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Like I had, there was a yid from the Kehillah last week that had a parasha that in order to do things according to Shulchan Aruch, it was an inyan of him giving up a tremendous amount of money. There was a certain shaila, this was last week, and we discussed it, and it was clear that Apishuch Narach, he wasn't able to have this money, and it would have to be resolved with the money being returned. And he said it's very, very hard for him, but if that's the halacha, then he'll do. It's kishkut d'lahav. This was something that he came to, that many, many other people don't come to. Everybody that day in shul was wearing their tals and tefillin, but he was wearing this kishut of a kala that wasn't what everybody else was wearing. It was kishut and lahav, something. It's in Shulchan Aruch. It's true, and all of Shulchan Aruch are requirements. Nevertheless, it's something that required on his part a hischadshus of some sort, a tremendous notch of some sort, to mechadish something. In his Avaida, it's called Kishutim D'Lahavu. And that's what the Quran is explaining. This was an Indian of Olam Hazeh. When a person is Miyachid bin Yonah Olam Hazeh, Olam Hazeh, things are something of this world. And you take something of this world, and you Mekashid Behem HaShechina. You Mekashid Behem HaShechina. There are two ways that a person can clean for Pesach. I'm talking to an Eidelmer, I know that there's still Jews like that left in the world. There are two ways that a person can clean for Pesach. You could either do it in a way where you makasha the kala or you stam shlap. If during the time that you're cleaning and you're working for Pesach, you say that you stop and you say, and if there are children especially, it's a gewaldige thing, avigadla vincha b'yama hulayma, before the Seder begins, to say to the children, do you understand what we're doing? That the Baruch Shalom took us out of Mitzrayim, and he told us that we have this opportunity, this time, to make our lives and to make our homes and everything in our clean and free of all the koiches of the klipas and tuma and to be people who are b'nei charin mamish, and to talk to the children in such a way that they should, if the children would hear the parents talking this way instead of complaining and crashing, then the next generation wouldn't want to go to hotels. They wouldn't feel that they need to go to a hotel. The reason that they feel that they have to go to hotels is because they heard their parents saying, we can't do this, we can't do this. This is terrible. This is Mitzrayim. Hashem is Paro. And we have to do these terrible things to clean. So if a person would take out the map and the Ajax, whatever it is, and all the stuff, and would say, L'shem yichu kuchibichu shchinte, gal einei v'abitin eflos meteresecha, that this is mamish kishutin for the kala. When you're cleaning. Not just, everybody knows that when you're sitting by the Seder and you say halach ma'anya, that those are kishutin, but those are kishutin to have. Halach ma'anya, you're saying, it's amazing. Those are kishutin to have. But kishutin to lo have? Kishutin to lo have? That when you're going underneath someplace and you're reaching in to take out some of the shemutz and you're going through things to prepare for yontif, and you, those are kishutin to lo have. And it's also part of Yiddishkeit. Everything is a lokus, but it's very easy in those in yonim to fall into that place of the oisius and the fulus of the fallen letters and not to see gal einei v'abita, that this is an avoida of there's an avoida of being mekasha the kala. Everybody likes to be mekasha the kala when they're sitting in the kittel by the seder, but they don't feel like you're being mekasha the kala when you're cleaning out your car or your house. You're not being mekasha kishut, but it's kishut de lav. It's the unexpected kishutin of the kala, so to speak. It's called kishutin de lahav. The Shechina didn't have that kishut. The Shechina had people in Taz and Tefillin that day, but the Shechina didn't have somebody who was filthy and smelly from cleaning. That's already kishutin for the lohav. The lohav. And this, the Svarim say, the Zohar Kodesh teaches us that there's a special type of hanachas ruach that the Baruch Shalom has from kishutin de lohav. Klema kishutin ha-shechina shlo ha-hoyu adayin ma'olam. Shu chashev yoyse, that's even more chashev. You see the way it's brought down in the Lashon of the Berma'am Chaim. Look, you see the notes on the left side, in the middle where it says, Urei b'sefer Berma'am Chaim. Right in the middle there of that paragraph, on the left side of the Urei b'Berma'am Chaim. Urei b'sefer Berma'am Chaim and Shmini. Right? Okay, in this parasha. So you get home, take a look at the Berma'am Chaim. You see the whole Torah there. So he says over there, Kasha Nemar, Hashem Rava Kodesh Isha Lakim Amafuris Main Rav Dov Ber Magim Mesharim Dekil Kodesh Mezrich Amash Mavu Bizar Kodesh Viskasha Bekishut and Delehavu. So the Ber Magim explains to the Mezrich Amaki Ki Kishut Eshchin Hashem Eichud Amashanasa Ayde Oisius Hatorah Vatfila, the Kishut of the Shechina that take place with the Yichudim of the Oisius Hatorah of the 22 letters of the Torah and Tfila. Hein Hema Kishut and Dahavu. The 22 letters of Torah and Tfila are Kishut and Dahavu. Those are the kishutin. You open up the seder, you say Ashrei. You open up the chumash and you say Vehi b'mishmini. You open up the gemara and you say Shnayim Ochsim Betalas. Those are the kishutin to have. Ki me olam vahad olam heima. Because those atheists of Torah and Tefillah are always there. They were there and they're always there. B'chol ikar me'enam eli yichudim haliyayinam. And of course, those are Yichudim El Yonim that Akash Baruch Hu gave, like to begin with. It's like you already were given. If there's a test that the teacher already gave you the answers to, you know, the first part of the test the teacher gave you answers to. So those are the answers you already were given on the test. It was the teacher told you before that she's asking or he's asking these questions, and those are the questions, and you prepare the answers. Those are Kishut and Dahav. For those questions and answers, you don't get to the highest place, you understand? They're very choshev. And you reviewed the chomer, and you answered, that's good, but those are kishutim to have. But those are kishutim, those are yichudim al yayim that the teacher already prepared and gave you. Have yichudim al dvar matachtayin, but then you have yichudim al dvar matachtayin, there's something else. That's where the teacher wants to see how you understand the chomer, whether you really understand. When the teacher's giving you something, where you have to, on your own, where you have to be creative. Where you have to show that what I learned in class was just those were the Yichudim Elyonim that gave me an opening to be able to understand how to create Yichudim Tachtayim, my own Yichudim. That a person is able to be megala through yichudim bedvarim tachtonim of this world, to think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what he's doing in this world. This is called kishutim d'loy havu. V'yichudim aboyim al yodam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu misaneg v'sos v'sameach behem v'yoseh v'yoseh. That's what Bimam Chaim says. And these yichudim that a person makes in the Lamates Malachas, meaning in this world, it matters of eating and drinking and other things of this world, and at work and so on. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is misaneg v'sos v'sameach behem v'yoseh v'yoseh. That's why we're talking about this whole conversation about how could you be a Jew while you're going to work is in Chassidus is ludicrous. The highest tanugim that Kadosh Baruch Hu has, it is not something that we're making up. We're talking, this is the highest tanugim that Kadosh Baruch Hu has, that he says to Samecha, the yichudim that a Jew makes dafka when he's at work. Those are the highest yichudim. Now we see whether or not you understand what it means to be a Jew. The oases of Torah and Tefillah are very, 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 very high and very exalted, but that's the material that was given to you. And that's what you prepared, that's the chaimah that was taught to you. But when you're at work, and when you're Isaac in the inyanim of this world, that's the chaimah that was not given to you. The teacher didn't give that to you. But now the teacher wants to see, do you get it? Do you understand what it means to be a Jew? Understanding what it means to be a Jew is every single minute of your life is a lokus. Is Einam Levado, every single minute of your life. I'm an Ovid Hashem. I'm not just an Ovid Hashem in shul. Every single minute of my life, I'm an Ovid Hashem. That's what we said in the whole conversation, this whole inyan of what happens to a Ben Torah when he leaves. Of course, it's a practical problem because we weren't taught that there's such thing as God outside the Beis HaMedrash. And what do you do when you have guys that were raised that the only place that they were told a million times that the only place there's God is when you're learning Torah? And every single shmuz they ever heard was about learning Torah and not about God outside of Torah. So then they don't know what to do because they were only given the 22 Isis. And if you're only given the 22 Isis, what are you supposed to do? That's all they have. It's not their fault. It's our fault. It's not their fault. They were only given the 22 Isis. And their fathers were embarrassed. If their fathers were not sitting and learning, their fathers going to work, then their fathers are low yitzlachs. Because if the father was a nish maslich, he'd be also with the 22 Isis. But he's a guy that's not, what can he do? He's a shlamazel. And he's out there working, so he doesn't have the 22 letters. And if you're not with the 22 letters, you're not in the program. The whole inyan in Pnimis HaTorah is crazy. It's b'chlal not a conversation among the tzaddikim. The ikatanik that the Baruch Shalom has in this world is from Kishudin Blayavu. For Kishudin Blayavu. That doesn't mean that this guy shouldn't stay in the Beis HaMedrash, obviously. Learning is the Yichudim of learning. The Kishudin of the Shechina with the 22 letters with the Aleph Beis. Especially if a person is Dovok to Hashem and thinking about it. Nowadays, as I said, even when you're learning, it's a little bit of Kishut and Lehavu, right? Because a person is learning now, but the people are learning very often just to be sharp or to be smart or to show somebody that they could answer in a good way or something. So if a person is learning Bemis Lashma, now it's also an Indian. I'm just saying, it could be. Nowadays, it's an Indian, also Kishut and Lehavu. That there's a chiddush that Kadosh Baruch Hu has in his world, that there's a Jew that thinks of him when he's learning, or when he's davening. There's also nowadays, in our Medrege, it's a little bit of a kishud and lehav. But certainly, a person who's an Eilech Yidni, he's out in the world, and he's living as a Jew. What's said that's not something which is holy? Of course, if a person's not living as a Jew outside, then it's terribly dangerous. But The Bir Maim Chaim says, "V'yichudam aboyim al yodam akash bogu misanig v'sos v'samech behem v'yoyse v'yoyse." L'tzad shayim ruchakim ma'oid ma'oid ma'or yisbarach l'mata. May or upon his baruch lamad, because this thing right now, this place of work, or this act of eating, on its own, seemed to be what? Very, very far from or upon Hashem's baruch. Nobody was thinking of the baruch shalom over here. It was very far, very, very far. It seemed to be totally separated from Elokus. And then this yid comes along and says, no, the shayim yichu kutshubichu shchintei. And he remembers HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this place, with what he's doing. So, these are kishutim d'la'av. Kishutim d'la'av. There were no kishutim over here. There were no kishutim. I told this to you a few years ago. I remember someone who first married, so to try to make a couple of dollars, I would go and do hashgacha for the Vada Rabbanim of Queens. I lived in Queens. I do hashgacha. I don't mean hashgacha like, you know, sitting in the back of the restaurant eating jelly beans and watching the waiters. I mean hashgacha of, you know, kashering these hotels with, you know, this terrible, terrible, terrible dirty work. And, you know, there'd be it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, there's a wedding with 1,000 people, and 5 o'clock in the morning, it's chazet treif, you understand? The whole place is treif, and you have to. I, you know, once I saw that, it's a hot, you know, to think of eating in these places afterwards. But so I would, with these ovens and had to, with the characters that worked in these kitchens before, I never met. I was like a, you know, regular yeshiva guy, and I never met such chever like I met in these places. What was going on? And they were bali madregas. I mean, tachtainas, bali madregas. Such bali madregas. I never was with such people in my life. I never met people like that. I mean, you see from a distance when you're walking in the street, but you didn't, like, I was with them sometimes for 36 hours. Because I would leave Motzei Shabbos. It would take the whole night. I'd have to go. I went to, like, some hotel in New Jersey. I remember being in the Meadowlands and going there and right after Shabbos. I'd make Havdalah, and I would go out there because there would be a wedding the next night. And it was a huge thing, and you had to kashering and all these things. It was unbelievable, and the filth in the ovens and the counters and everywhere else, that was only a small part of the filth, but the diburim of these people and the way that they acted, it was terrible. And but, you know, you did that 36 hours, and you were, and at that time I was able to come back home. I would come back at Sunday night. I would just like fall on the floor. I'd come back Sunday night with $400 in cash, like from such an Indian. That was like thousands of dollars, you know. But it was such filth. And and I wasn't able to daven Bitsibur Sunday morning. I would go and scrub and scrub and wash and take off the filthy thing, the aprons and the dirt, and I would put on and to take my talis and tefillin and go someplace in a side room, and I would daven. And I remember that I was once in a place, not in the middle, in some place far away, like in Connecticut somewhere, I don't remember where. And in the middle of nowhere, there was somebody who was making a simcha. And it was, the sun was coming up, and I was standing by this window. I went, they gave me a key to go into a conference room to go daven. And I was by myself. Well, there was another mashgiach there. And I went to this conference room, and it was very beautiful. The sun was coming up, and I was looking out, and it was Elul. It was only like a week from Slichus or something. And I had such a chalishus of das. I said, I'm here all day, all night, listening to these hilarious, what's going on, and the way they're talking, with the guys and the girls doing things and stuff, and with the chazer, I was cleaning chazer with my hands, it was all chazer. And I don't have, I'm not going to hear tkiyah shofar. There's no need to blow a shofar by yichidus in El. It's only when you're a betzibah. So I'm not going to hear tkiyah shofar, and I'm not davening betzibah. And I felt like, you know, I felt like, and then I was in such a terrible, terrible place, I could barely open my mouth to daven. And I also was in a rush because, you know, I'm afraid to leave anything over there, and I had to get back. I left this guy, there was a Yid der Bocher, and he was watching things, and I was afraid. And then I was looking outside, and then all of a sudden I started to think, I was working on this, and I was thinking, when was the last time there was a Yid over here in this place, you know, that said, Adon Olam Hashem Malach? When was the last time? It could be there was never since Adam Rishon over here in this place, in the middle of nowhere, that there was an Adon Olam Hashem Malach, but term call Yitzinivra. And I had from Mamish the highest darlings of my whole life over there. I had such an unbelievable aliyah from that davening in that place, without a minion smelling from Chaza, and such an aliyah. I didn't know the Oisius then of the Mizrach Magid, but the Oisius of Kishutin, of the Zohar Kodesh, of Kishutin the Lehav, of the Tanug of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I felt that he was having Nachas Ruach, and that he was smiling, saying, "Ah, I have from this place in the world, I have this little Moshe Weinberg, Moshe is saying some Oisius of Torah and Tefillah in this place, and offering up this place to me," and I felt like such an aliyah from that. Of course, that's a feeling that's hard to sustain when you're at a place day in, day out. If I had to do that every day, I'd probably just not want to live. But just the tziur of what it means, the tanug that Kadosh Baruch Hu has, when you're putting into use the things that you took on the test. You know, you could tell your kids a million things, but whether they use them in life is that's their own bechir. Now, when the kids are with their parents, those are the oisius. Then they're in the oisius of the olive base. And their parents are telling them, do this is right and this is wrong. Do this and don't do that. So when the kids are with their parents, those are the 22 letters of the olive base. Those are kishud nahav. But what your kid does when he leaves the house, those are kishud nahav. The life that the kid makes for himself or for herself, those are kishud nahav. The parents... Now we get to see whether or not the kid understands the material, understands the chaymer. What I was saying before regarding Pesach is that when the children see the parents by the Seder, and they see that the parents, that they're Balei Avoda, and that the Seder is not just a time to talk about, uncle this and aunt that, but the Seder is a Seder that's filled with Avoda, so it's a gewaldige thing, and it's a key in the mitzvah of Yigad Levincha. But it's kishud nahav. But when the kids see that the parents are Isaac in the hachanis for Pesach, so then it's kishud nahav. Then the kids learn from that. It's very often. That's why one of the many reasons why I'm always crashing and complaining about the Indian of going away, because the children then are not being taught the biggest part of the Seder is not what happens at the Seder. The biggest part of the Seder is when the parents spent a month, the strongest memories of the smells of the kitchen, of the good smells of the kitchen, and watching parents, they're so double to the Shekhinah that every single crumb is important to them. And they're worried about every crumb that's on the floor, not just that they pack up the suitcases and go away, but every single crumb of chametz is there. And the Isaac and the Hachanis of Pesach, those are Kishut and Lahava. The kids have stronger memories of that than the matzah that they ate. And these are things that our generation, a lot of the kids, not in Israel and not as much as it is also in our neighborhood, which is more of an affluent neighborhood, and people could afford, but they're trying to make it affordable for even people who don't have money, or even the people that don't have money, that they think that they have enough money, and then they realize they have to pay so that they're broke, because they were so desperate not to have to worry about the crumbs, and not to have to do the Kishud and Lahava. But the Kishud and Lahava are the strongest in Yonam in Avodas Hashem. And to give a Kadosh Baruch Hu the biggest tonic, to give a kid a sponge, and to tell a kid, here, go to work. Instead of him being a privileged person that you say, that they tell him, don't worry, we're having our own special Seder room in the hotel, don't worry. How could you compare the two? Kishud and Lahava, Kishud and Lahava. How do you compare the two? It's two different oilemas, mamish, of the Yiddishkeit of a person when he's doing things in Kishut Lahav. Because that's where Hashem Shabbat gives a Jew the unbelievable schus of being able to offer up something that's not like written in the script. It's not a script. It's not in the script. And you're ad-libbing. And when you're ad-libbing, it's a big issue to do that for Kadosh Baruch Hu, because it means that your mamash got it. And the fear of ad-libbing paralyzes people. They just want to be able to have everything written out. And they're prepared to pay $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $100,000 to have the script, to have it all scripted, as opposed to being able to do things on their own. V'zeh sh'omru Moran, back inside, the beautiful words, the Be'er Mayim Chaim, u'kesheim oylem ein keitz l'simchasim etanuga. Ein keitz l'simchasim etanuga. When these things that were just in this world, that were part of nafalos, and you make them into niflos, it was nafalos. It was far from the kedusha. It was a very, very plain thing. It was far from kedusha. It was a physical thing, and instead of it being nafalos, you remember Hashem and you make it into niflos. Then ein keitz the simchas and matanuga. There's no end to the simcha and the tanum. There's no end to the simcha, to the tanuk that the Shechina has. You're bringing her kishutim that she didn't have. She didn't come with these kishutim. And you're mekashet because you love her. You're being mekashet the Shechina and kishutim de lehav. Kishutim de lehav. Talk to the family tonight about kishutim de lehav and kishutim de lehav. Kishut and Dulahav, what that means. Ein keitz l'simchasim v'tanugam. Ein keitz l'simchasim v'tanugam. There's no end to the simcha to the tanug. Is there anything a parent that the simcha and the tanug that parents have when they see that the kids are grown up and they're doing on their own, they're doing the right things and they got it, and they're living in a way of kedusha? There's no ein keitz l'simcha v'tanugam. But when they're at home and they're doing what you tell them to do, it's great, but it's still ein keitz l'simchasim. Let me just finish this line: simchas v'tanugam u'lesimcha amusa shemegi l'bari oylem yizeh. Ah, Kadosh Baruch Hu kibyoch, the Shechina is loaded with tremendous simcha. Shemegi l'bari oylem yizeh. K'simchas ben chaver v'sheyover l'aviv bisman kabir shahay b'shivya b'medina rechayk ma'od, like a son, a beloved son, who was far from his father away, he was held in captivity, he was in prison someplace, but Medina Mechayke, in a faraway Medina, she'en keitz the simcha sa'ov, u'ben azeh, there's no end to the joy of the father and son being together. So when there's an inyan where there was no elokus, or there was nothing that was openly 22 letters of the olive base, it's like something that's in a prison far away, and then you use this as a way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Be'er Mayim Chaim says it's like a father and a son. The son was far away for a long time, and he was imprisoned, and now he's back with his father. In case the simcha v'tanugam, there's no case. This was something that was far away from the father. This inyan at work is far away from the king. Where I'm eating, it's far away from the it's far away. It looks like it's far away from the king. Ein keitz, and then when I remember Kadosh Baruch and I make a good bracha and I think of a Kadosh Baruch and I thank him and so on, ein keitz, there's no end to the simcha v'tan. Ein keitz, the simcha v'tan of the father and son being together in this situation. Ein keitz, there's no end to that. That's the Be'er Mayim Chaim. Now, you wanted to, Binyamin.
But can we seek out kishut in the lo'avu? I mean, isn't that a little bit the chet of Adam Arishon, that there's a danger of trying to be Meraki for the sake of getting more Nagas. Or in the case that Hashem puts us in situations, and those situations we have to utilize as, but we can't choose to put ourselves in a far out hotel somewhere and to
dive in
there just to elevate
them. Right, so that was one of the things that went wrong, among many other things that went wrong with Shabtai Tzvi Yamach Shmo, which there isn't any like that in the Void of Tzadikim. But what happened was that he took that and he made that ki'ilu standard work of halos on itzayt, is to go even from there. The person doesn't just go to work, then he starts to go to disgusting things in bad places, which is exactly what he did. The Yimach Shema, he went and he brought and he did it with a girl in the shul with the Sefer Torah that was open. He did a mais in front of everybody, and he said over drushes. So this caused such a shockwave to Am Yisrael about how dangerous this could be potentially, that the idea of going hunting for kishutim. So even though the emes is there is such an Indian, but it's something that after that parasha, the tzaddikim said, and that's one of the reasons for this nagdis to the Torah Sabal Sham, but the misnagdim had to do with this. It's one of the underlying causes of hisnagdis was the fear of this kind of a Torah being taken to those strange places, and the person saying kishud d'lahavu, that to be makasha the kala, this is mamash d'lahavu. Therefore, it's a very important nakuda that you're raising, and that's why for us it's dai lanu. With the opportunities that we have, just doing the best we can. Therefore, you know, would you say to this bacha, you need davka to go to be, you know, among the girl soldiers in Tzal, that you never saw a girl except for your cousin, and even then you were having problems dealing with it, and you now to go and to be among all these girls in the army base, who think you're a cute guy. But because you could have kishut and lahavu, say no, just stay away from there. Figure something out for you, and it's not a place for you. But ideally, of course, there is an inyan like that, but we can't because we're not in such a place. We're just not. The kishut and lahavu we have every day. Just they're coming at us. We don't have to go looking for them. They're coming at us all the time. You could understand this svara of someone who doesn't ever want to walk out of the Beis HaMedrash. You understand that sort. And that's what there are many of the Rashivas are saying, that it's not because we think that work per se is evil, it's just that our guys are not prepared for it. And there's certainly truth to that, so we have to think of ways to help. And so one shouldn't misinterpret anything chalila that we're learning or that I'm saying, the kilo. Go someplace that you're not prepared. You can tell your kid, you know, here's some money. Go to Broadway and watch the show and come back with some kishud and delav. No, don't go to Broadway. Stay away from that place. Broadway's it's probably a klinikite nowadays, but you understand what I'm saying. Don't go to that place. So the kid says, but I learned the Bramam Chaim, and I want to be Isaac and kishud and delav. Just stay home. And here's the sponge and the mop. Just help us with Pesach. These are kishut and lahav. You don't have to go to Broadway. The kishut and lahav are right here. You don't need to go someplace to look for kishut and lahav. There are plenty of kishut and lahav. When you're sitting down, when you're having something to drink, it's kishut and lahav. There was no izgalos of pnei melech or pnei melechaim in this cup of water. Say a proper bracha. Remember, there's a borei olam. Kishut and lahav. Put away your what's that game that they're all going crazy about now? Everybody comes to complain about Fortnite. Yeah. So here, I don't know what this is, but everybody's telling me this is a tremendous taiva that they have now. So put away your Fortnite and open up a Gemara. That's kishun for you to learn a black Gemara at 9 o'clock at night when your friends are on this Fortnite. That's kishun de lahav. The Gemara is kishun de lahav. You don't have to think of something more original than that. Above Metzia is fine. You don't need kishun de lahav. You just learn a blad Gemara right now. That's for you. That's kishun de lahav because everybody else is on Fortnite. So your Isaacin right now is that's kishun de lahav. You have to be very careful, of course, with this. But the yisod we need to understand what that means. We need to understand that, and certainly. People that all of us, Ben Kach, are in this world, and that means Kishun Lava, how you conduct yourself when you're on vacation, when you go someplace. How do you, you're not walking away from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because you went with a family someplace, it's nice. Where do you go? How do you conduct yourself? Where do you go on vacation? What do you look at when you are away? People, these are all, it's a frame of mind, it's a way of thinking. It's a way of thinking. It's the way of the Zohar Kaddish. It's Rabbi Shimon's world. It's Rabbi Shimon when he came out the second time from the cave. This is not only is it not to destroy the world, but he saw that this is the Aliyah of the whole world. This is the Aliyah of the world, not to destroy the world. You remember it?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, I was thinking that at the end of the Megillah, Mordechai gets taken to task for not having stayed in the Beis Medrash. It's hard to fathom because he saved the Jewish people. He was involved in the... And yet, they said he should have stayed. I guess that's only for the big people, or the biggest.
Right, but it's a good thing that he didn't. It's a good thing that he went out and worked and helped us, yeah?
That's how we would interpret it, but there is such an Indian that...
Of course, because B'Shas Ma'isa, they're always...
What are they saying?
Because B'Shas Ma'isa, okay, I'm not going to go into the whole story, but B'Shas Ma'isa, they're always going to be Chilukid days. Whenever a person is doing something that's original or creative or different, there are going to be people who are against them, no? Even if you're saving the whole world, there are going to be people that are angry at you. That's just how it is. My father told me that there was a tzaddik. I just remember this. My father said that where he came from, when the war was starting to, things were starting to get bad, 1939, 1940, because he was in Hungary, so it wasn't at the beginning. In Poland, it was early. But not 40, 41, things were getting very bad. So most of the tzaddikim there said that to stay in Hungary. It was to stay there, and the storm will pass, and Hashem's will is going to take care. Everything's going to be fine. Don't worry. Don't leave.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's a...
Most of the tzaddikim said
it. Yes. And there was one in particular that my father remembered from his town. There was a certain tzaddik that was screaming, everybody, we've got to get out of this place. We've got to leave. And how the others were yelling at him that what kind of a thing is this? Wow. To go to America, America's, and how are you going to go here? And you're not going to be able to raise your children as Jews. And, you know. So, B'Shas Ma'isa, there are Chilukei Deis. I'm not saying that we're not able to judge those other tzaddikim, whatever the hashgacha was, that there were tzaddikim that said to stay. But L'Ma'isa, B'Shas Ma'isa, at that moment, at that time, the tzaddik was screaming to leave, was not Ratzui, L'Kol Echav. He was not someone that the other tzaddikim agreed with. They disagreed with him. Now we can look back and say, "Whoa, he was onto something." But it's always like that. It's always like that. When you're in the inyan itself, there's always going to be chilukei deis. And if you're doing something that's not the status quo, so sometimes it could be just you're wrong. You're wrong. You don't know what you're doing. You're wrong. It's not the Ratz Hashem. But sometimes it's right. And others disagree with you. But that's always going to be like that. And you have to daven and daven and daven that what you're doing is the right thing. And it's very, very hard to know. B'Shas Ma'isa, when you're in the inyan, it's very, very hard to know. There's a viewer later on that you look back and you could see what was and what wasn't. But when you're in it, it's very hard to know. Because to do something that's different, that's unusual, that's different, there's always a greater risk in that. If it works, then the same way with an investment, the greater the risk, usually the greater the returns, right? But if it turns out that it was a mistake, then you invested and you lost. It's very bad. So it's scary. It's scary. But those are times in life and in the like huge in the autumn huge decisions. But what we're talking about day to day. To live as a Jew wherever you are and whatever you're doing, I think we could all, in that way, we could all relate to it, and we could all think of it in a very clear and simple way without getting complicated of what Kishun de Lahava means. It doesn't have to be scary stuff like that. It has to do something that's very risky and very daring. That's what Binyam was bringing up before, that's where that could lead to going intentionally into something that's risky and scary So you could have a person nowadays that says, I'm not sending my kid to any yeshiva. I don't like what's going on. And I'm going to homeschool and I'm going to do this. And it's a cheshbon that a person could have. It's risky. Could turn out to be a terrific investment. Could turn out to be a terrible, terrible mistake. Socially and religiously, it could turn out to be a huge mistake. So, you know, I've had over the years people would ask, what do I think? And I said, it's a... could be you're onto something, and it could be the best thing you could ever do for your kid in the world, to raise him in such a way. It could be you're making a huge mistake and you're messing up your kid. Yes, you know,
that wouldn't be considered kishutim d'lo
yahavo. It could be. It's hard to say. You need like a navi for that. It could be. Like if this person would be put in that situation because he didn't have a choice, and for whatever reason he had to go live in North Dakota, right? Because whatever his he had a kid that had to have this certain hospital there and had to have a certain the air of North Dakota. So he had, it was pikuach nefesh. So he had to take his family and he moved to North Dakota, and in that place he homeschooled this kid, and the kid is a tzaddik. So then everybody would say, ah, it's kishud l'av. But if you're living in the five towns, if you're living in Borough Park, and you say, I'm not sending my kid to yeshiva. So it could be you're just nuts. You know, you're crazy. It's not kishud l'av, you're just crazy. What's the matter with you? Every other person he has a yeshiva for the kid, you can't figure, you know, for you, there's no yeshiva that's good for your kid. Who's your kid? Who are you? Crazy. But if you had to go to that place, you know, that means, and then, so then, and that, yeah, that's what you're asking. That's what Hashem Yisbarach gave you, that in you. That's what we're talking about. We don't have to go looking for these things. They come to us now. We don't have to look. Okay, Mr. Shumbo, continue.